The Fan.
Time now for Vikings Fan Line on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Your chance to talk about today's game with the Vikings broadcast team. Add to the conversation on Vikings Fan Line by calling 651-989-KFAN or toll free 1-800-320-5326. Now it's your reaction to all the action. Vikings Fan Line. Here's KFAN's Ron Johnson and Corey Cove.
The Vikings lose a bizarre game in Lambeau Field 21-16 to the Green Bay Packers. I'm Corey Cove. That's Ron Johnson. This is Minnesota Vikings Fan Line / Kirk Cousins Fan Line, 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. Ron, normally we just fire off a little monologue. We do 4 or 5 minutes of our own takes before we open up the phone lines. And we're going to do that briefly. We're going to do that here in a second. But first, Kirk's at the podium. Let's go to Kirk Cousins talking to reporters right now.
You just can't do that. You know what happened last week in our game against us, and we talked about it all week. You just can't do that, and it's uncharacteristic of me. I can't do it, and so I was what I was thinking was try to give Diggsy a chance and kind of an ours or nobody's thing, but it wasn't nobody's. He went and made a play, and you just can't do that.
How about the other one that you kind of threw into traffic, the interception?
Yeah. Again, can't throw that one in there. Too much traffic, and I understand. Rudy was open on the other side. With the way my read is, if I'd gotten off of Diggsy earlier, certainly could have worked backside. By the time I made the decision to say no to Diggsy, I needed to check it down to my Z on my left. But either way, the ball can't go where it went.
During the offseason, you said there wasn't much of a commonality to all the fumbles that you had last year. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's something to the fumbles?
I think the...
Been a run to start?
Yeah, well, no. I think you go hindsight and you say we run the ball so well. You can do that all day. But he had also called several runs in a row. He had been consistent with the run and had gone back to the well. And so I would credit him for how many times he did go back to the well already on that drive. And again, that's part of the reason you disappointed is because you felt like your team, your coaches, your offense, your linemen, your receivers were doing everything, in terms of the run game. We're doing a great job, Alex and Dalvin, running the ball, that you felt like they deserved better or our team deserved better today as a result of that. And so that was... very disappointing.
What sort of explanation did you get on the offensive pass interference that nullified the short Diggs touchdown?
Yeah, I got the explanation that I think he was the stadium announcement, was that the receiver, or Dalvin, I think was who they were pointing at, was, running into somebody. So certainly a tough play there.
Kirk, you mentioned plays that were left on the field, and today there were a handful on third down that didn't connect. Does that hurt extra when it's the difference between a first down and a punt?
Yeah. There are certainly certain plays that are more significant when the outcome goes your way or doesn't go your way, and third down's one of them, red zone plays, and obviously today those were not good enough with the interception in the red zone, and then there were a couple third down throws that were really tough, to not hit. One was to Adam on the sideline early in the game in the first half, and then the other one was, the deep one to Stephon that was overthrown by a few yards. That one was tough because you feel like if you hit that, maybe he scores, maybe we're first and goal from the 5, whatever it is, it changes the flow of the game. And so those were ones you're really frustrated walking the sideline.
Kirk, you did, though, hit Stephon, and you also hit Adam for those 30-yard gains. Do you remember a game where you've been high and low, those extremes for you?
This game was unique. Every NFL game seems like a roller coaster. It seems like it's all over the map. And, I had a feeling in the second half that there were plays to be made. I think we all kind of saw in the first half that there were plays to be made, and we didn't make them. Some games you're in there, and you feel like you're going against, 14 guys on defense and things aren't open and it's a blur. But today I felt like there were plays to be made. And so we kept thinking, man, at some point it's going to break. At some point it's going to turn. We're going to hit something. And I guess we did one time, but, that was the frustrating part, and not having more of those at the end there. Because then they were there to be made.
A few of your misses looked like high.
throws? Is there a common theme there, a common thread to those?
I don't know. You know, I'd have to go back and watch. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to go watch and see.
What's the fix here, Kurt? What's the fix here then? You know, with all these problems today, to come back next week and have these things cleaned up?
Yeah. These games are their own entity, and so this one's over. And as frustrating as it was, it doesn't bleed into next week. We don't start at a deficit. We don't. It's 0-0, and it wouldn't have mattered what happened the 2 weeks prior. Week three is week three in its own entity. So, you know, you got to go back out, and you certainly correct the mistakes, and you make sure they don't become more of a pattern. And so that'll be very important. But as far as what to correct, I mean, you can look at situational decision making. You can look at, you know, being more accurate. You can look at, you know, some of those fundamentals, protecting the football. You know, those are some of the pieces.
Kurt, you may have addressed that already, so I apologize. But can you take me through your mindset on the interception?
Yeah, the second one. Yeah, in the red zone. Yeah, you know, it's not gonna justify it. But you know, my thought was Diggsy was kind of running along the back end line, and let me put one out there near the back, such that it's either his or it goes out of bounds, kind of a deal. And obviously, the ball was, you know, thrown in such a way that the DB was able to make a play and stay in bounds. And that's just not, if you're gonna throw it that way, you can't throw it. And so that was one that, you know, that's the kind of stuff you say is like day one. You know, you just can't do that.
All right, that was the voice of Kirk Cousins, 14 of 32 for 230 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, including that key one late, a couple of fumbles too, one of them lost to the Green Bay Packers. The Vikings lose to the Packers as well, 21-16. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Minnesota Vikings football.
Play action. Kirk rolls out to the right. He stops. He fires to the back right of the end zone. Awful pass. Was that picked off? Incomplete. Was it incomplete?
I don't know.
That was a terrible play by Cousins.
Kevin King.
Throw it out of the back of the... Oh,
it's Green Bay ball. Are you kidding me with that? Oh, my heavens. Back right of the end zone. Rolling out to the right. First and goal from the 8.
Ruin on the field.
See, I thought...
Ruin on the field is an interception. First down.
I thought it came out late. I thought it was jarred out late.
Vikings lose 21-16 to the Packers. The 21-zip start. Obviously, Ron Johnson, a really bad, rough first quarter and change for the Minnesota Vikings. Would have been the third biggest comeback in Vikings history.
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins has come back before against this Green Bay team 24-0, so it was set up for him to do it.
First and 8, right? First and goal from the 8.
And you're supposed to learn from what happened the week before. He said it. Matt Ryan did the exact same play. How do you not learn? Throw the ball out of bounds. Even, honestly, if he even took a sack at that point, I think we could have been okay because he still had a chance for a field goal to bring it to within 2. But as you just can't, when you're getting paid this much and you're supposed to be an elite quarterback or considered an elite quarterback, you can't do that. You can't make that mistake, period.
All right, phone lines. A lot of people want to talk about Cousins, so most of our takes are about Cousins. Anyway, so let's just dive in and see what they want to say. Craig in Iowa, you're first. Hi, Craig.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Fired away. Hey,
I know you guys are kind of paid to, you know, be friends with the players, but
that's not.
Oh, no. Corey gets paid way more to not be friends with them.
Get their interviews, but all I'm saying is, you know, who is the backup? Put Cousins down on the bench for next week because, you know, it's not going to cost you any money. And it was. He's afraid when he has the ball in his hands.
Who is the backup? Do you know?
Doesn't matter because everybody's under contract. So
you don't care who the backup is. You're just like, put that guy in.
So you think they're going to do you think this is just funny conceptually or you legitimately think this should happen?
I don't know. Just, the money's been spent. The contracts are signed. So, you know, I think would be, you know, a good thing maybe for Kirk Cousins and maybe good for the Vikings if he sat down and didn't start next week.
But you don't even know who the backup is.
Maybe he'll throw a little bit of fire in his belly because, you know, some of the things he's done are simple plays and he's not even, you know, he's just not doing it.
So you'd like to give him a timeout like he's a toddler, right? Put him in the corner, give him a timeout, think about what he's done.
He's a big guy. he's a big guy. He's not a toddler, but you know, for the money we're paying him, he can sit and maybe let the backup.
All right. So you think Kyle Sloter should start the next game then? Against the Oakland Raiders. Okay.
Okay, yeah. He doesn't know that Sloter's gone. He doesn't know who the backup quarterback is. Look, I get it. Everyone is going to be frustrated with Kirk Cousins the next couple of hours when we're talking about this game. But benching him is not an option.
Correct.
Right? When you pay him $84 million for 3 years and you're two games into the second season, you're not benching him. You're not cutting him. You're not going to put him in the corner and teach him a lesson. It's you sign the deal with the devil, right? And if this is the quarterback, you're going down with the ship.
Or at least know who the backup is if that's your suggestion.
Well, and again, that's why I think it's just conceptually he's just tired of Kirk, right? He doesn't. Yeah. He knows the – I hope Craig understands the Vikings are not going to bench Kirk.
Craig doesn't know that.
He might not.
He doesn't.
This game is all on Kirk, right? If you look at – yeah, the defense got off to a slow start, right?
Correct.
Those first handful of drives, Rodgers and company just marched up and down the field. They looked like they were going to put up 90 points. After the first minute of the second quarter, the Vikes defense was legit.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, though, you can't – I mean, yes, gut reaction. We want to put it on Kirk because he had the chance to win the game and made some crucial mistakes down the stretch. But if you play coach, because I know Spielman and Zimmer, they're going to do that tonight and tomorrow, there's a ton of plays that the defense gave up where Davante Adams is running free. You got to look at Scanlon in the back of the end zone, you know, again, running free. You got the tight end running. I mean, there was a lot of free runners in this game that shouldn't have happened, penalties that shouldn't have happened. Stephon Diggs shouldn't have dropped the ball. The Dalvin Cook thing, and I'll go off on that later, that was stupid as far as the passer, the OPI. And then Stephon Diggs taking his helmet off. It didn't burn him. It didn't really hurt him.
Oh, it cost him a point.
It cost you a point, though, in a close game.
Changed the way you make that kick.
And you know, right, exactly. And that's the thing, too, is like maybe they go for two at that point because you can't go for two now because it's going to be, I think, what, on the 13-yard line if you take the penalty and you say we're going to go for two because I think it's a 10-yard penalty from where, or 15 even from wherever you decide to do it. So at that point, you can't really go from two. They might have went for two on that. The way they were running the ball and everything. Now it's 18-21, and they're only down by three. So, yes, I think that you're right. I changed my mind. That's a huge mistake because I feel like the way that offense was moving at that point, I think they were going to go for two.
I just will never understand what goes through a player's head, a smart player's head, about why are you taking your helmet
emotions
off?
Emotions, the fact they took a touchdown away from them to start.
Shouldn't the best players in the world though understand I can do a crazy stupid ass dance, I can do whatever I want, I can take my helmet off when I get back to the sidelines. I can't take it off just so I could mean mug the first three rows of Lambeau.
Yeah, and if you were watching the game, the mouthing was not safe for work.
I mean, it was MF.
Yeah, and he was telling the Packers fans that. I'm pretty sure they were yelling, we're the owners of this team, and he wanted to let them know how he felt about it.
And they're yelling scoreboard. Like, you're not leading yet. I know you're coming back, but this game is not yours.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Super fun. Yeah, thank you.
Right.
James, you are on Minnesota Vikings fan line. Hi, James.
Hey, this is James from Maple Grove. How are you gentlemen doing?
Good.
What's going on in the MG?
Mr. Ron Johnson, Mr. Corey Cove, I want to talk Doghouse Radio for a moment. So, if my wife tells me to shovel the driveway and I shovel half the driveway, did I complete the process?
No.
Did I get credit for shoveling the driveway?
Probably not.
So, how does that Packers cornerback get credit for that interception when the ball comes out as he rolls over? What is completing the catch in the NFL? Can you please describe that to me and tell me how I'm wrong?
So Adam Thielen had a similar catch earlier in the game, though. Same thing happened when he rolled, the ball came loose. And so what they're saying is the roll and not the – because he landed on his back and then he turned. He wasn't really rolling to, like, complete the catch. He caught it, hit the ground. That was the catch. He was getting up to kind of, like, celebrate. And that's when the ball came loose. So they're saying him laying on the ground with the ball being touched by a receiver, at that moment he's down. But I agree with you, too, a little bit, because last year, if you remember against the Panthers, I think, or maybe 2 years ago, Adam Thielen had the same exact type of play in the corner of the end zone. He rolled, hit the pylon, then the ball came out, and they said it wasn't a touchdown. So we're back to square one. The refs don't know what an effing catch is. Like, they don't. And the rule is so stupid, and the reviews don't even work sometimes. So I don't know. I mean, the fact that you can now throw a flag from New York and the game is in Green Bay, that's stupid. Like, that's dumb. Now, I would love for him to try to to get it there. But if you're not Thor or Iron Man, you're not getting it there. So that shouldn't count. You shouldn't be able to throw a flag from New York on a game in Green Bay.
It's so just, the Saints, dumb. As always, are to blame for everything.
Correct. And the Saints fans, the lawyer being, that filed a,
the Saints
dumb.
Fans being babies directly impact the game today because this new pass interference rule was put in place specifically so egregious pass interference, correct. Missed calls and calls did not impact the game.
Correct.
So it was supposed to give pass interference clarity. I think this game is a perfect example, and I'll give you three of them. It's the three obvious ones, but still, three examples of why I think this new pass interference rule is a disaster.
It is.
Because it hasn't gained any consistency.
Correct.
The two that I think are inconsistent is, I think James is wrong. I think King absolutely caught the ball.
He did.
Falls on his back, rolls over, and then the ball comes out. That's correct. A catch. He caught it. However, he's stiff-armed Stephon Diggs. He's pushing off. That's defensive pass
for the interception, correct.
Right.
Yep.
It's almost identical to what Adam Thielen did earlier in the game in the end zone when he got called for like that 50-yard bomb, that pass interference. Is he's jockeying for position. He stiff-arms the defender, comes back around, puts himself in position, tries to make the catch. He misses it, but still, he gets called for offensive PI.
Yep. Well, his was a double. He stiff-armed him, and if you watch, it was pulls a vet a move. Bit. He pulls him. That's the vet move that the ref was watching for.
But all I'm saying now is I didn't think King's play was egregious.
No, it wasn't.
I think like if in a normal game, if the Saints' play had never existed, and this is just a normal NFL game from a year or two or three ago, if I see that play in the end zone, I go, I don't think that's pass interference.
Correct.
But now the way we can review these and nitpick, well, now I'm going, well, if Dalvin Cook is going to get flagged after the touchdown, that correct. New York, that they're going to review every scoring play, so they're going to take a look at it. All right, Diggs clearly caught it. He rolls into the end zone. That's a touchdown. But now we can look at every other player on the field, and we see that Dalvin Cook ran into that second-level guy. Well, he's blocking downfield. You can't do that, so the play's negated.
Right.
So I look at that final interception and go, all right, if we're going to nitpick, he kind of pushed off. So shouldn't that – turnovers are reviewable. Shouldn't that be – Let's look at everything here. That guy pushed off. That's defensive pass interference. Vikings ball.
But that
so
has
I
to,
hate the inconsistency.
It was above 2 minutes, though, so it wasn't a scoring play. Mike Zimmer has to challenge
but
that.
It's a turnover, though. Aren't all turnovers reviewable?
No, not for pass interference. Pass interference has to be a coach call.
So that's a
until
Mike
under,
Zimmer.
Correct. Mike Zimmer did not realize he got pushed or stiffed arm.
That's the other thing I hate about this rule. Is let's say the Dalvin Cook play. I know it happened, under 2 minutes, and it
correct.
Was on a scoring play, right?
Yep.
So it's automatically reviewed. I get that. Scoring play, under 2 minutes. Both of them make it automatic. If that exact play happened in the middle of the field, right?
Yep.
And Stephon Diggs gets a 7-yard gain.
They're not
the Packers would have never had time to see that, think about that, challenge that. This rule is absolute trash.
It is.
It's inconsistent trash.
It is. 100. I agree. Like it's stupid because not only was it a pass interference that had nothing to do with the two people in the play, Stephon Diggs and the guy that tackled him. You're talking about a linebacker that's covering the running back. He's not even looking at Stephon Diggs. And only people are saying, oh, that's the pick play. That's not the pick play. The pick play is on man. That was a linebacker red two zone. They were sitting there. They weren't going anywhere. It was, and Dalvin Cook, honestly, that was his mistake. He should have just ran a shallow and let him and Diggs rub because he might have even, I mean, if he ran full speed, I don't even know there's anybody on that backside because Stephon comes from the backside. Everybody's kind of standing there in the zone. So I don't know what Cook was really looking at or thinking. I'm wondering if that's the call. Hey, if that linebacker's sitting there, rub, you know, for Stephon Diggs. But there's no need for a rub there because it's not man, it's zone. So you just run your route.
So I saw Kevin Seifert tweet this afternoon during that the debacle saying that the NFL, when it comes to OPI, offensive pass interference, on automatically reviewed touchdowns, that the NFL, quote, tried to warn teams and the public that things like this were going to happen. Thanks for the heads up. Fans don't care.
Right.
Fans don't, like, this is one of those things that the NFL thinks they're doing the fans a service because the whiny Saints fans complained.
Yep.
So it's, we're going to make sure all fan bases feel safe and happy and comfortable. This is going to piss everybody off.
And they do have the right.
Today's our day, but it'll hit every team eventually, but today was our day.
By like week 8, I think they have the right to review it or something like that. They're still going to stick with it because I think they don't want to admit
that it's dumb.
Or kind of like we talked about last year with the 90. Because think about this. We haven't heard any of the 90% of your body weight landing on the quarterback talk. Why? Because they knew that was a stupid rule.
Yeah.
And They stopped it. I mean, it's probably still in the rule book, but they haven't talked about it. They haven't brought it up. They haven't, you know, mentioned it. They haven't said, oh, 90% of his body weight was on him. That other 10% was on the ground. Like, none of that. I guarantee at some point the league officials are going to call these refs and say, hey, okay, let's cut it out. Even if you look at the play, just let it go with whatever you called on the field. Stop with this, especially if it's in the end zone and it was our own call. I think they're going to cut it out because it's dumb. It doesn't change. This was too close of a game to even make that call. Him bumping into the linebacker did not change the play. It was one thing if I get the whole man-to-man because the Patriots do this all the time. The man-to-man rub, I'm a run into your guy, you're wide open. It was a zone. So that him doing that had nothing to do with Stephon Diggs catching the ball in an open zone.
More of your phone calls after this or reacting to a controversial day at Lambeau Field, whether it's Cousins' mostly awful game or completely awful game and the inconsistent refereeing, really on both sides, but specifically today aimed at the Minnesota Vikings. 21-16, the Packers move to 2-0. The Vikings fall to 1-1. This is Minnesota Viking football.
Hand off Dalvin Cook, makes a man miss. He has a safety to beat. It's Darnell Savage. Minnesota Vikings. It's the longest run of his career, and it's 21-6 Green Bay.
Ron, lost in the shuffle of Kirk Cousins having a really bad game, the Vikings having a bunch of turnovers, some weird calls by the officials, heartbreak late when the Vikings had a chance to strike and come from 21 down to win. Was that, man? How about Dalvin Cook, a career-high 154 yards rushing, including that 75-yard touchdown that we just heard from Paul Allen, and 37 yards receiving, so give or take 200 yards out of Dalvin Cook. He mostly dominated an otherwise pretty frustrating game, but he looked terrific.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, Sundays aren't over. The Vikings are basically a top three run offense right now. You know, they have the ability to really put themselves ahead of everybody else, show what they have. They didn't abandon the run game. Being down 21-0, most teams are going to come out five wise, four wise, and they're just going to throw the ball to try to get back in it. The Vikings had the gumption to stick with Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook busts a 75-yarder out, which kind of was the catalyst to say, you know what? We can still run the ball on these guys. We have a lot of time left. So the fact that they weren't up 21-0 like late in the third or fourth quarter, and it's happened so early, it allows Stefanski, and I think Kubiak maybe too, it allowed Stefanski to kind of lean on Kubiak and say, hey, what should we do here? And I guarantee you say, hey, let's just grind this thing out. So, yeah, Dalvin Cook, you can't overshadow that. It was a balanced day. I mean, that got overshadowed. 223 yards on the in the air. And then you look at another, almost 200 on the ground. You look at Kirk Cousins, threw the ball 32 times. You know, we don't have fans calling saying, oh, he only threw it 10 times.
I think they wish he would have.
So a lot of things got overshadowed by one key play, interception in the corner of the end zone.
Yeah, it was bad. All right, Kirk Cousins fan line. Here we go. David in Minneapolis. Hi.
Guys, Dave Ehrlich, Minneapolis. How are you?
Good.
Now, picture this, guys. I'm on a weekend business trip in Dallas right now. I'm calling you from remote, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in a sports bar at the hotel, big screen, watching the game. I'm the only one that has the Viking jersey on. And as we're ready to probably take the lead before the interception, I'm screaming Super Bowl. Probably wasn't the smartest move.
Probably not.
They laughed me out of the bar. My thing is this about Cousins, okay? And I disagree. I don't know what the caller, Craig, was talking about benching, and that's ridiculous. The thing that's frustrating that both of you talked about is 2 years ago, my buddy Jay Charney tells me, hey, we shouldn't do the Kirk Cousins deal, too much money. Ron, you started the conversation today on the radio saying, what is your explanation? I know there's nothing we can do right now. He's our quarterback, and we have to live or die by him. But when you hold on to the balls of veteran, and you lead the league in fumbles, and you overthrow and underthrow in big games, and you're a 500 quarterback, what do you tell the fans? I know we're stuck with him right now. You got to hope for the best. And so you're right, Corey. It's only the second game. in the year number two, and I get it, don't jump off. But what do you do as fans when you see, here we are, $90 million into it, we put it on one player, we get average play, true, Corey, last year you said it statistically it was great,
yeah.
But the wins and losses out there, and I want to know what you guys tell the fans what we can do when we see a player out there and he's not making it. We're not winning the games we're supposed to be winning with them, and I'm going to hang up and listen and tell you guys, again, you do a great job.
All right, thanks, David. Well, see, I think David brings up the unanswerable question that everybody wants the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you look at his stats last year, monster numbers. And yep. In the history of the Minnesota Vikings, one of the best statistical quarterbacking seasons in the 50-plus years of Minnesota Vikings football. But it's not, it didn't come with a bunch of wins, right? So that was the frustration. It's, you felt like you were kind of hovering because Kirk was holding you back. The weird thing about his career, not just his career with the Vikings, is despite really good numbers, consistent numbers, he stays on the field. His record against big teams, good teams, big-time primetime games, pretty awful, right? So it's a game like this. What is it about clutch big-time games that Kirk crumbles? I don't get it because yeah. Otherwise, he can tear any almost every other team up. You put him on national TV or against a team that's, you know, like 8-2, and he loses. Even if his numbers are big, his teams find ways to lose. Now, today it was on him, not his team.
Yep.
What do you do with a guy like that, Ron, that has all of the abilities, can make all the throws, today makes a couple of mistakes, but for whatever reason, sometimes in big spots, just can't get it done, can't get the team to the finish line. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 4,900 yards when he was with the Redskins, that was his best, you know, ever. Last year, 4,200 yards, you're right, 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, so he had a three ratio, which is
his best. It's a great number.
Yeah, you know, so he did pretty well. You look at his, you know, his QBR and everything, his passer rating. He had a good season, you're right, but that's the key. Was it 7-8-1 or 8-7-1? You can't do that. Like, that's the big one, is like you have to win those big games. That's why you look at Nick Foles. Nick Foles got paid because he was able to win big games as a backup. You know, he won a Super Bowl in the biggest stage in the world in the history of sports. He won a game and beat the Patriots, a team that nobody gave the Eagles a chance to win. So with Kirk Cousins, I don't know if it's a therapist guru, a coaching quarterback guru, a couple shots of whiskey and Jack Daniels. I don't know what it is, but something does have to change a little bit with putting some hair on the chest, kind of manning up at moments, and just saying, F you, I'm taking this game over. You know, there's certain quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, he does that. Every once in a while, he'll get pissed off. You can tell. I mean, he went off on LaFleur. He was walking off the sideline. I tell him, like, dude, this wristband on my arm is stupid. Let me call my plays on third down. I mean, there was one play where Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if you heard it on the TV copy, but he's trying to check and tell the guy, and he's yelling, on the block, on the block, on the block. And the offensive lineman says, what? You know, and then he looks at him and says, dude, on the block. You know, it's almost like, why am I checking to this when I know what I should be doing? And then they ran the ball and nothing happened. You know, I think that's where Aaron Rodgers kind of created who he is. He does what he wants to do. He creates the plays. I don't know if Kirk Cousins doesn't know how to do it, if he hasn't been given the keys to the car to do it, or if when the lights turn on, certain parts of them just get a little too anxious and nervous. But, yeah, I mean, you have to, when you're getting paid this much money, and now, I mean, now the dollars are getting serious. I mean, it's silly when you look at other quarterbacks now upping their, you know, their contracts, and Jacoby Brissett just got like $30 million for 2 years. You know, you look at some of these numbers.
It was just market value.
Yeah, at the time that was, and that's the thing. So at the time it was like, oh man, he's the fifth or fourth highest paid quarterback or third highest. Now he's like seventh or eighth.
Well, when he signed it temporarily for like a week, he was the highest
for 1 week.
But, but now he's starting to slide down.
He's going to be like 10th, 11th, and 12th.
But people get mad about that. But that's how free agency works.
It does.
Look at the NBA. Look at Major League Baseball. If you are a free agent and you are in the quote prime of your career, you're just next, right? So.
Or if you're a guy that, you know, you just are a free agent, there's nobody else around you.
Right.
And that's what happened.
That's Kirk, how I found my wife.
Nobody else was around.
Yeah, it was just better than everybody else around.
And she was like, I want the guy with the chicken tenders on his plate.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of Moxie, not to make this go for fan line, we need a little bit of Tanner Morgan Moxie.
Yeah, Tanner has
Cousins.
Yeah, he throws it
all
in the right
games
spots.
This year,
yeah.
Tanner's been unbelievably clutch. And now Tanner's the opposite, right?
Right.
I'm not trying to rip him, but he seems like he's probably not the most talented guy in the world. He's got enough talent, but he can make some throws, maybe not all the throws.
Correct.
But that dude is just a winner. He did it last year.
He's like Mox.
Right. Yeah, he's like Jonathan Mox.
Exactly.
But, I mean, think of how many times he did that last year where he was winning games that surprised us because he would just find a way to win all three games this year.
Yeah. No.
Doesn't matter what the deficit is. They've trailed in the fourth quarter.
People don't understand that. They don't understand. He's making the plays. He's throwing it to Bateman. He threw it to Crabb in the corner.
Awesome.
He threw it to Tyler Johnson on the
fade. He figures it out.
He gets the game done.
How can you not love a quarterback like that?
Yeah.
He's such an easy guy to get behind and cheer for. Let's go to another call. Let's go to Leighton in Plymouth. Hi, Leighton.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What do you think?
Hey, I got one comment and 3 points if I can get them across.
Go.
Whoa. Let me get my notepad.
So, the first comment is hats off to the NFLRA Association today, the National Football League Ref Association. I mean, they did a great job today. Every time we play in Lambeau, it's questionable calls. It always goes against the Vikings because Aaron Rodgers is the face, quote unquote, of the NFL. So they're trying to protect him at all costs. So I get that. So that's a good point for them. The first thing is I hear you guys bashing on Kirk Cousins a lot. I kind of agree with that to an extent, but at the same point, that last sustainable drive, I think it was like 5.5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter where Kirk is driving down, and they go away from the run. In my opinion, I blame this loss on Stefanski and Kubiak for not sticking with the run. In my opinion, I know you're trying to get Kirk Cousins and he's the bell cow as far as price tag goes, but everything that had got you to where you were at the fourth quarter was coming from the run game and you went completely away from that. In my opinion, I don't know what they saw. I don't know what their thinking is. I'm not a coach, obviously. I'm just a fan, but the run game up until that point was working. It was effective. And if you look at the stat line from the game, outside of the pass completion percentage from both quarterbacks, the run game was insane. We had almost 200 yards of rushing, and we go away from it when we're like 40 yards away from the touchdown. I don't get that.
All right. Yeah, thanks for the call. Well, so here's where I'm going to agree and disagree. I understand the frustration because that drive, it seemed like the Vikings were just running at will. You also, when you get the first and goal from the 8, even though run game got you there, you're not required to go run, run, run.
Right.
That's insanity, too.
Yeah.
The right answer is, if you hate that pass, you probably hate the decision to force it.
Correct.
Not necessarily the play call, but all right, if you're Kirk Cousins and Stefanski slash Kubiak slash Zimmer, whoever okayed the pass there, I assume it's just Stefanski, throw it away. If
Correct.
You throw it away and live another day, then no one is saying, why did you go away from the run?
Correct.
You're allowed to mix
what
in
movie,
a pass.
What movie was that where the quarterback throws out of bounds and knocks the
Yeah, that's
the
Varsity
mascot.
Blues.
Yeah, see, exactly.
That's a second Moxon reference
you,
of the
You got to just hit a cheerleader or just hit a owner. Okay. Hit one of the Packers owners.
Right in the face.
Right in the face. In the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Just right in the beer.
Like a foot into Eric Wilson's face.
Exactly.
Just throw
it as hard as you can, right? Knock a cheese off their head.
Well, they're going to be drunk. They won't feel it.
True.
Until
they'll probably be licking
Tuesday.
The stands at that point, but they won't even notice the ball hit them.
Yeah, I love when people do that, though. I get it. I wanted to see a run there, too. Dalvin was kicking ass on
that drive.
But at the same time, you can mix in a pass. Just throw it away if it's not there.
The biggest issue I've seen, though, that 3-4 defense, I don't know if it was Mike Pettine. You know, great job by Mike Pettine. I mean, I remember he was with the Ravens, and so he's learned a lot from this. Same thing we did in our 3-4. At some point, you say, you know what? Screw the run to your side. Let the D tackle or the three technique take advantage of that, and he's going to hook hard outside. The outside backer, just go after the quarterback every time. If he runs the ball, great. But if those three times he's holding it, you can kill him. And every time it felt like when he was trying to do that naked boot, there was a guy right there. Like, stop that. Stop. Like, stop. Because Kirk was not either the line wasn't comfortable with the play call or something wasn't right. But it did not look smooth on a couple of those play actions with nobody there to help Kirk out. So they have to change that. And honestly, we didn't bring up the fact that Pat Elflein didn't play. Some of that stuff up the middle, you know, I mean, the hole by Bradbury, you can tell he had no help. There was no real conversation between him and Elflein like we saw in week one. At some point, they did get the defensive line flowing in the zone run. Some of the passes, I don't, you know, we'll have to wait and watch more film and see. But I just feel like that piece of Pat Elflein missing was a huge piece.
This is a little nitpicking, but how many fumbles were the Vikings credited with today? Not just necessarily that they lost, but how many times did they put the ball on the ground?
Probably four.
Yeah, just at five. Two okay. for Cousins, two for Beebe, and that last one with Diggs and the old hook and ladder there.
Oh, yeah. See, I wasn't so that one, that, so four,
but
yeah.
Technically, we put it on the ground five times today. Whoops. More of
the muff punt. Yeah, exactly. They counted that. Okay, yep.
651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. The Vikings score the last 16 points of the game, but the Packers scored the first 21. They lose 21-16 to the Green Bay Packers. Packs 2-0. Vikings are 1-1. That's Ron Johnson. I'm Corey Cove from the Power Trip Morning Show. More of Vikings Fan Line after this. This is the KFAN Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Second and goal from the 12. Takes the snap. Devontae Adams is in the backfield. Fires to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown Green Bay Packers. Back center of the end zone. And the touchdown goes to Geronimo Allison. His first reception this season is a touchdown in Border Battle 118. And it's 13-0 Green Bay. And we're in the first quarter. First and goal from the 2, 14-0, green and gold. Rodgers shotgun. Goes to Aaron Jones out of the shotgun, walks into the end zone right side. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers.
Packers win 21-16. This is Minnesota Vikings Fan Line. I'm Corey Cove. That's Ron Johnson. Let's dive right back into the calls. Let's see what Adam has to say. Hi, Adam.
Hey, morning or afternoon, gentlemen. Adam from Colorado here.
Right on. What do you got?
I got, I could go down. There's just a huge list of things, but honestly, let's talk about it. Cousins, I'm out. I'm totally out on Cousins now. Diggs had an absolutely terrible game. He's got to be mentally in the game, and let's go with Zim. I will say this, though, the defense did put the team in a very bad position, but why are they not prepared for these games like this after a great, seems like every week after a great game, they come back and they lay an egg somewhere. I don't understand why Zimmer does not have these teams prepared, and I'm sick, and I'll be honest, I'm totally sick of hearing the same old excuses in the press conferences, which is we dug ourselves a hole, we shot ourselves in the foot, we couldn't come back, but we fought hard. Again, I go back to the same, to the Cousins deal. It's about the W's, and the W's are not there, and I think Cousins needs to step up, accept responsibility. I think we see what he is. We're 1-1. He's an 8-8 quarterback. You know, that's just all there is to it, and I feel bad for Delvin. Great effort, great running back, and I just hate to go back to the Adrian Peterson era where we had a great running back but an average to below average team. I don't think that's us, but, you know, I mean, it's just like you can't make these kind of mistakes every time you go to Lambeau or any road game for that matter and expect to come back. And it just seems like they're not prepared for these games. I'll listen to your call, your response afterwards. And Corey, I love your work in the morning, man. I'm listening to you guys every day when I'm working out. Keep up your good work.
Sounds good. Thanks, Adam. Ron, let me ask you this. You've been in a locker room.
Yep.
Or two or three or four. My guess is most coaches, unless you're John Gruden or something, or some other psychopath like Mike Leach.
Mike Leach is not a psychopath. He's just he's unique.
Most coaches, post-game, pre-game, midweek, keep it pretty close to the vest. Yeah. My guess is we can't dig ourselves a hole. We battled back hard. My guess is that is not what he said in the locker room, right? So even though we're hearing that, my guess is those guys are hearing a very more, a different and more specific story about what they did wrong.
Oh, yeah. And there's nothing worse than watching film knowing the mistakes you made. Like, if you don't know, like, you go home, and let's say they won this game. There's a false sense of like, okay, whew, we made it, and you get home. But when you lost, you know the mistakes. Like, you don't forget the mistakes you make in a loss. And so these guys are agonizing because they know once they get back, because Zimmer, with a flight back, you don't really want to rip guys right now. You just kind of give them the whole like, hey, you know, we know what we did wrong. Let's get back Monday, watch film, blah, blah, and we'll correct it. They're going to get ripped. Like, guys are going to watch that. They're going to rewind that Kirk Cousins play at least 10 times. They're going to show him exactly where. The Stephon Diggs interception, same thing. They're going to watch that because he stared Stephon down, which created a triple team look. And I think Kirk said himself, Rudolph to his right and the other receiver or the running back were wide open. Because if you stare Stephon down,
then you go to your right. You look left, you go to your right. Anybody playing Madden knows that with the Madden vision. The little vision thing shows up to the left, you throw it to the right. Why? Because everybody's going to run to where you're looking. So there's little things like that that, again, and I keep saying this, when you're getting paid $28 million, you can't make those mistakes. If you're Jacoby Brissett, you can get away with that in a game. Because coach is like, you know what, you're just, if you're Gardner Minshew and you're in Jacksonville and you're making these mistakes. Coach, if you're Mason Rudolph for the Steelers, who had to come in for Ben Roethlisberger.
Same thing.
You can make, Mason Rudolph. You can make whatever mistakes you want. Even if you're Joe Flacco in Denver, because Denver sucks, so you can do that. You can't do that when you are playing with the number one defense in football right now that literally shut out a great offense in the second half and gave you at least 8 to 10 chances to win this game. You can't do that. And that's the stuff that, yes, they're going to get ripped on film. I think Dalvin Cook, he's fine. He's going to, I mean, not to say guys, but let's be honest, we're humans. He's going to watch film. He's going to sit there and be like, yeah, I had a good day. Like, I'm not worried about this. I had a good day. The offensive line, there's going to be some good stuff from them. But other than that, the rest of those guys, and the defense, I think the defense first half, they're going to take a look and see where their mistakes were. Second half, they're going to get patted on the back and say, great job here, great job there, Jayron Kearse. Because Jayron Kearse got beat early, and then he came back and made some plays late, so he's going to be able to, he'll be fine. But Kirk, oh, they're going to rewind that thing over and over and over again.
Nate in Alaska, you're on Minnesota Vikings fan line. Hi, Nate.
Hello, how's it going?
Great. What do you think?
Hey, so I know what's done is done. You know, we're 1-1, we're 500. Even 2017, we had a great year. It wasn't that great to start, but I'm trying to be more positive. I'm kind of at the bargaining stage right now, and I wanted to ask what you guys thought about the offensive line. I thought they looked better than they have. I thought we looked improved, even if not perfect. You know, below average is still an improvement for this unit. And I wanted to know what your guys' thoughts were on their play from some people who are smarter about football than I am.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Ron, what did you see? I didn't keep a very sound eye on the Minnesota Vikings offensive line. I don't think I watched Dakota Dozier play one play.
But from what you saw,
what did we miss with Elf line out?
So the thing that I didn't really watch was directly related to that. What I was counting early, and I'm glad he brought that up, was 12 personnel versus 21 personnel. And all that is the first number is the number of running backs on the field, second number is the number of tight ends, and then as a receiver, we do that count in our head of what's left. There's only three of us left. And so when you look at 12 personnel versus 21 personnel, they went two running backs and one tight end way more than they did one running back and two tight ends. And we've been talking this whole offseason about 12 personnel. How they're going to go two tights, and they're going to always keep Irv Smith or Conklin and Rudy on the field. And they went back to C.J. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing because he's running the ball like crazy, and C.J. Ham is banging heads. But if you're going to be a 12 personnel or a 21 personnel team, you got to have some 21 personnel plays to get to the pass. Your pass plays are built off two tight ends. So, again, what is this identity? So when I say that, I mean now the offensive line. So what do they look like? When they were 21 personnel, they looked fine. When they were running the ball, they were moving together. They were doing their double teams or getting up to the second level. Dalvin Cook was going untouched for at least 4 yards. And when he got touched, they were moving the pile. In the pass game, the offensive line, tackles were okay. You didn't see a bunch of guys running free, but up the middle, you did notice that. You noticed the pocket, like they pressed it. And I feel like the Packers say, you know, if we get a little early pressure on him, he's going to see ghosts. Because there was times where he had time to throw, and he kind of did that little hesitation back step to take one more step back, and he could have just stepped up and thrown the ball. And so I think Pat Elflein definitely helps out. I think he helps with the calls. I think he helps with the fronts when it's like, if we have a 7-man front, who am I taking? Who are you taking? And should we check it? That's the stuff you didn't see a bunch of because there was times where Bradberry just looked a little bit overpowered. But again, I think the credit goes to the Packers defense. They're a lot better this year. You add some pieces at linebacker. You add Amos in the back end at DB. They got a lot better. Like they were trash last year. That defense is good now.
You brought up Irv Smith, though, and I don't play fantasy football, but I listen to Charge's show a lot. And
well,
Charge,
you play fantasy football with Charge.
That kind of counts. But he says every year that rookie tight ends, right, almost never have monster seasons. Correct. They just for whatever reason, it's a year two thing for tight ends, unless you're like T.J. Hockenson.
Exactly. I was going to say, he might have one.
Irv Smith, though, we all think he's got a lot of potential, a lot of possibilities. Through two games, one catch for -1 yard.
Correct. Yeah.
It's just bad. A slow start. I don't know why that is.
And that's why I say when they're going two tight ends, we're not seeing some of the creativity that we heard we're going to see. And so two things, and I'm not making any excuses. This is just probably the truth. Irv Smith probably isn't picking up some of the nuances to the offense. So they can't really start motioning him out wide. They can't really start motioning him across the field and putting him one-on-one in situations, running Texas routes, running seam routes, running out route and goals, you know, running wheel routes like Rob Gronkowski.
You got to keep it simple.
Like, that's what I think they're doing right now for him so he can kind of learn the offense. Because, honestly, I thought Conklin outplayed him in the preseason. I thought he had a better preseason. I thought it was going to be Conklin and Rudy. And Conklin's going to be kind of your primary big block, bigger guy. And then Rudy's going to be, you know, in the slot a little bit more. Well, Conklin's a little, you know, banged up, not always out there, and then you're going with Irv and Rudy, and you lose a bunch in the run game with Irv because he's not as a powerful blocker on a DN, a la you see Jimmy Graham trying to block Daniil Hunter. You have no shot at blocking DNs when you're a smaller, or not smaller, when you're a tight end, period. And so that's what I see with Irv Smith. He's not really getting the targets. Again, the first game, they only threw it 10 times. There's no chance of him even getting that ball. 10 times is going to Thielen and Diggs and Rudy. This time, 32, a little bit more, but that play action stuff, again, it's going to be shots to Diggs and Thielen. It's not really, they haven't really done anything yet with Irv with some of the tight end screens. And I'm not saying they're holding it back for like to not show another team. I just think maybe he's not really picking up all the nuances of the offense. And so they want to make sure they put him in the right position.
All right, at this point, we're going to let the Vikings network go. And if, unless you want to continue to listen to Minnesota Vikings fan line on the iHeartRadio app, you can find KFN 100.3 in the Twin Cities on the iHeartRadio app and listen to us for the next 45 minutes or so. And then Vikings Overtime, which follows us or any of our weekly programs on KFN 100.3 in the Twin Cities. So the iHeartRadio app will keep you connected. Otherwise, locally here in the Twin Cities, another couple of hours of Vikings coverage yet to come. 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. The Vikings have the Raiders at U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday at noon. So the pregame locally here in the Twin Cities on Sunday will start at 10. The network, you guys will join us at 11. And then, of course, kickoff right afternoon. That's Ron Johnson. I'm Corey Cove. More of your phone calls here locally after this. This has been the KFAN Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Vikings Fan Line now continues on FM 100.3 KFAN and the Fan Radio Network. Vikings Fan Line on the Fan is presented by the Greater Twin Cities Honda Dealers, Advanced Imaging, by Randy's Electric, Minnesota Laborers Union, and by Youngstets. To join in on the conversation on Fanline, call 651-989-KFAN or 800-320-5326. Now it's your reaction to all the action. Vikings Fanline, along with Ron Johnson, here's KFAN's Corey Cove.
All right, Vikings are 1-1 after a 21-16 loss to the Packers. Your Minnesota Laborers Union hardest working player of the game, I don't think there's any other option today. It's Dalvin Cook, though thanks to the Minnesota Laborers Union, hardest working player of the game goes to Dalvin Cook. And we haven't played this yet, but earlier this afternoon, our guy Ben Lieber in the locker room had a chance to talk to Dalvin Cook, and we'll play that now.
All right, here with Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin, you're talking to CJ Ham right now, specifically about the play that that negated the touchdown. So we'll just go right there. What was explained to you, and what was the play design overall?
It was supposed to get out the huddle and get a quick play going, you know, to catch them off guard. And we showed up, caught them off guard, and they was just standing around. And I pretty much ran into the player, and they called P.I., I guess.
I think for our broadcast and for a lot of other people on the sidelines, we were confused on the fact that they could even do that, review a play, and look for something else. Were you guys even aware that that's even possible?
Nah, we definitely didn't know on the sideline because we was already celebrating and you know doing what we do, but we definitely didn't know. We thought it was something else they was looking at, but you know it's just coming into this environment and that's what come with it, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's go back. We'll talk about another play. You ripped off a 75-yard touchdown run. Can you take us through that play, and what did you see, and what was the play design on that one?
I mean, it was pretty much, like I said, from last week, they pretty much set the edge pretty good today and was kind of not letting me get to the edge today and trying to keep me in the box. And I pretty much, you know, set them up to get them running and put my foot in the ground and got backside, and it was me and the safety. And you know, that's a matchup you got to win as a running back.
you know, obviously a lot of the success comes from your lead blocker and your offensive line. And you guys put in Dakota Dozier in place of Pat Elflein. Any idea how he played specifically, or just comment on your offensive line?
Did great, man. Hats off to Dakota for coming in and just being that guy to be ready. Yeah. You know, in the NFL, you never know when your time can come. Yeah. A guy like that to step in and replace Pat. You know, Pat is big on the offensive line, was big for us today. And, you know, hats off to all those guys up front just for, you know, just blocking all day and just grinding, man.
It looked like for me on the sidelines that as the game went on, especially in the second half, you guys were really wearing down their defense in the run game. Did you get a sense that they just were kind of tired of hitting you guys?
Yeah, we had them where we wanted them. We had them on their toes. When you start seeing players just going on the ground and the next drive they're coming back in, that's how you know you got a team when they're on their toes. But, you know, that's pretty much what we do, man. You know, try to wear them down. And we got explosive playmakers on the outside that'll light this thing up and change the scoreboard. And that's what you kind of seen out of the day.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Love watching you run, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was Ben Lieber and Dalvin Cook earlier in the Vikings locker room at Lambeau Field. You know, talking more about Dalvin's penalty on the Diggs touchdown that it's wiped away after review. Again, I still think the essence of why the NFL did this was to make sure that egregious calls aren't made, that games aren't won or lost based on a missed call or a really, really bad call. Isn't maybe the happy medium, Ron, that it has to be the play, not away from the play?
Correct.
Now, the comeback is, you could say, well, maybe Dalvin Cook's penalty gave, you know, Stephon Diggs the ability to score that touchdown. That's fair. That's the slippery slope. That's why I think this is going to lead to a lot of inconsistency. But I still think maybe that's the compromise is for example, the interception at the end of the game, the Cousins interception when it was first and goal from the 8. You review that. That's the ball. That's the play. Can you review that and say, well, that's defensive pass interference because he stiff-armed him? I think that's the idea, though, right? That's why the Saints fans crying started this.
Oh, 100%.
It's we got jobbed. That call is so bad, it costs us a game. It costs us a playoff game. It costs us potentially everything.
I blame the Vikings fans, though, that this didn't start sooner. If in 09, when Ben Lieber did that, if the Vikings fans would have went off about it and Lawyer Lambert would have sued the country for, you know, Ben Lieber's egregious call that he never touched a guy. So it comes back to blaming Minnesota fans. I'm going to come back and blame them that they didn't start this back in 09. Because then by now, in 2019, 10 years later, we'd be over it and we'd already figured this out.
But, you know, the old football cliche that you could probably call holding on every play, right?
Oh, 100%.
So why not just every turnover?
Just
if I'm
watch
the coach,
everything.
Just throw the flag and say, somebody held.
Yeah.
Go look at all 22 guys. Look at all 11 of theirs. If any of them held, I want this football back.
Somebody
that's
tweeted
dumb.
This, though, and if this play, that exact same play, if that's Davante Adams making that catch, if that's Aaron Jones running into, you know, Eric Kendricks, Aaron Rodgers throws a touchdown, they're not going to review that and look for that. And now it makes even more sense that Dalvin Cook said they ran a hurry play because I think that was after BB's long run that when the heck was he looking at? Just run. Like, he's looking left and right and left and right. Just run. Like, why are you looking? Like, he looked so. I mean, he looked fast, but he looked so slow. Like, either he was slow or the guy was moving very fast because he was looking everywhere but to the end zone. He could have scored, I feel like, if he just put the burners on and started running. But getting back to the point, if you look at that whole thing, they did catch him off guard. Maybe that's why it looked like a zone to me because nobody moved. Like, the linebackers all just stood there. And Dalvin kind of was like, is anybody going to cover us? Like, all right. And that makes even more sense now that was a hurry play after that play. Because usually after a big play, you do try to hurry up and hustle the line and hope the defense is not paying attention. So that's another piece to the pie of, like, the defense wasn't even trying to cover anybody. So how can you throw that flag? Like, they're standing around like, coach, give us a call.
Didn't change anything.
Nothing.
Greg in Maple Grove, you're on Minnesota Vikings fan line.
Hi.
Hi.
The body of work of Kirk Cousins with the 18 games, have the Vikings fans been sold a bill of goods?
How so?
In that he was, I mean, supposedly be the savior or...
No, they never said savior.
Savior, but the one that would get us over the top. But yet, how many big games have there been and what has he won? One, two? Out of 6, 7, 8?
All right, but what do you want us to do about it? What should we do?
No, I'm just saying, it's just a side to that is Spielman's job on the line if Kurt doesn't come through the rest? I know it's two games in, but
I don't think so. And thanks for the call, Greg. To me, if Cousins has a rough year, a rocky year, or a flat-out down year, the only person I think it really, really hurts is him, right? Because this is, even though he has another year and a half now, more than a half, but correct, he has another full year after this guaranteed by the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. This really is a contract year, right? Because if he has a monster year, he's getting that extension.
Correct.
So it's really going to cost him money, most likely. I don't think it would cost Spielman his job. I don't know, in hindsight, I don't know how you can rip the signing of Kirk Cousins almost at all. I really don't. I think it would all be in hindsight.
It would be. But the only thing I can say to this point, and I get where the caller's coming from now, because it took me a while to understand what he was trying to get at, and he probably doesn't even know what he's trying to get at because he didn't know. You look at Case Keenum, 26 for 37 today, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 103.5 passer rating. They lose to the Cowboys, though Cowboys are really good, 31-21. Could Case Keenum, in this zone scheme with this running game and these receivers, make the same plays that Kirk Cousins has been making and be a better off-schedule thrower? I'd have to say at this point, yes, because we haven't seen Kirk make the plays that Case made back when they went to play the Eagles. But the other part of that is when the Eagles force Kirk or Case to sit in the pocket and just beat us. We're not going to let you do all your crazy stuff, be a quarterback and beat us. That's when I think Spielman kind of was like, is that the real Case Keenum? Because he kind of was an undiscovered talent when he hit the league by storm, and the defense was playing lights out.
And he was mostly bad for the Broncos last year.
And again, I'm going to go to that. Yeah, he was bad for the Broncos, but I'm just saying in an offense, you know, kind of that he can, because we talked about the Redskins, and that was a similar offense to what Kirk Cousins had and that he has here now. And same thing, Case Keenum is in a similar offense to what the Vikings are running now. Could he do the same things for way less money? We don't know. I mean, it's like Schrodinger's cat. He's either dead or alive. We don't know. He's in the box with poison.
What the hell are you talking about?
You don't know Schrodinger's cat? The Big Bang Theory? It's a real scientific thing.
Who the hell
thing.
Watches?
I watch the Big Bang
no
Theory.
No one watches
if you put
the
a cat
Big Bang
in a
theory.
Box, Schrodinger's theory was if you put a cat in a box with poison, is he dead or alive? Or is he both at the same time? Is he both dead or alive? Because you haven't checked to see. Just Google it. Schrodinger's cat. Tweet me. 3 Ron Johnson and agree with me, people. Let him know. It's Corey Coven.
Or just tweet at Corey Coven. Tell me how much you agree with me that show sucked.
That show does not. Kelly Cuoco?
I can't believe it was as good as it was in the ratings for about a decade.
That show was good. And the elevator finally got fixed.
Garbage, laugh track, horrible jokes.
I watched
The Big Bang Theory was the equivalent of Cousins game today. Just unwatchable. Hey, sports jokes. Not a great one. It was like that joke could have been on The Big Bang Theory. That's how bad it was. 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. If we don't get to you, Vikings overtime definitely will. We got about another half hour to go. This is Minnesota Vikings Fan Line on KFAN and the Fan Radio Network.
I'm head coach Mike Zimmer on the radio home of the Minnesota Vikings. FM 100.3 KFAN, the Fan.
Hand off Dalvin Cook, makes a man miss. He has a safety to beat. It's Darnell Savage. Minnesota Vikings. It's the longest run of his career, and it's 21-6 Green Bay.
All right, that 75-yard run by Dalvin Cook was the Randy's Electric spark of the game, thanks to Randy's Electric. So it sparked the Vikings offense right after a 21-rip start. Dalvin Cook gets the Vikings on the board. It looked like we got a little momentum, right? A couple of big plays after that went our way.
Yep.
Sparked something, just not enough. And obviously, the Vikings had chances late to come back from 21 down and actually win that game, but they end up losing by 5, mostly thanks to that garbage Kirk Cousins interception in the back right corner of the end zone at Lambeau. All right, back to the phone lines we go. Dan in Michigan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing fine. What's on your mind?
Good. Hey, a couple couple things. A proud Viking season ticket over in Michigan, and we're going to be there for the Vikings victory next week. But I am a little bit disgusted with that last play call where we had the interception. We had, 8 yards to go. We've been shoving it down their throat, and Delvin's been averaging about 9 yards a carry. I can see throwing a pass, but maybe second or third down. So we in Atlanta last week, we shoved it down their throat a couple times to score. And so just your guys' thoughts on that. And then also, by the way, Drew Brees is out and Teddy is in for New Orleans.
Yeah, thanks, guys,
and thanks for a great show.
You got it. Thanks for the call. Yeah, the Rams are up 6-3 right now on the Saints. That's early third quarter.
A shootout that they thought that was going to be.
Second half. Hammer the under in that game. The exact same score in Denver. The Bears are on top, 6-3 over the Broncos. And Patrick Mahomes is lighting up the Oakland Raiders, the opponent of the Minnesota Vikings next Sunday. The Raiders are at U.S. Bank Stadium right now. The Chiefs, 28. The Raiders, 10. That game is early in the third as well. Mahomes has another.
So do you think that
game.
Means this is going to be Kirk's first 300-yard game of the season?
Don't know. He's going to have to keep up with Patrick Mahomes, who, again, I just said it just started the second half, right? There's, a minute and a half into the third quarter?
Yep.
He has 341 yards and 4 touchdowns.
I hope he throws for 600.
So much for that sophomore slump. He's on pace for almost 700 yards and 8 touchdowns.
I hope he throws for 600 yards. Please do it.
Man.
And then somebody just bring him a Brinks truck, get him $200 million.
All right, back to the previous caller's point, though. The thing that I think all of us forget, and I'm guilty of this from time to time, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, that when you run the whole field down to get to first and goal from the 8, excuse me, I keep screwing that up.
First and 8 from the goal.
Even though you are not...
you can't.
You're not required to go run to
correct.
Get in, maybe even a fourth down run.
Yep.
You are allowed to pass, right?
You are.
But to his point where he's like, well, I would rather have passed on second or third down. I get that as well. But isn't the whole point of football is to catch the defense off guard? Or to be surprising, right? Sometimes when it's fourth and a half a yard, I get it. That's the Cam Newton debate from this week is why don't you just give it to Cam and just get it? Don't overthink it. But I don't think throwing on
Rodriguez
first or second or third is out of the question if it's the right play call. And maybe even the call that they made wasn't the wrong call, but Diggs wasn't quite open enough. Kirk shouldn't have thrown the ball. So it's more of, all right, I like the play call. Don't even mind trying to catch him off guard. We're not going to run it with Dalvin. In hindsight, I don't mind the pass. I don't even mind the play.
I do.
I just hate the decision that, it's not there. Like you said, take a sack.
Take a sack.
A sack's
throw it
better.
Out of bounds.
The right answer is throw it out of bounds. Then you have all of the opportunities to do everything you still want, and you're at the 8-yard line.
I blame.
The one thing you can't do is just chuck it up and hope it goes.
Well, I blame Ron Rivera for that. You definitely give the ball to Cam Newton. He's 6'6", 240 pounds. Give him the ball. I don't blame Stefanski because we can say Kirk should have threw it out of bounds. But the caller is right. At that point in the game, and I think Zimmer even said it, we start running the second half because they were tired. They were beat up. Dalvin said it. You can see it in their eyes. They didn't want to, they were like, crap, here it goes again. Vikings are about to come back and beat us. At that point, 8 yards to go, you're almost at 200 yards rushing. You give the ball to Dalvin. You like Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl. I don't care if the analytics say throw the ball. You give the ball to your bell cow. You let him at least twice. And then it's like on third down, we know you have to throw. Maybe not, because it might be third and one on the one. You run the ball there because he was getting, they both, him and Madison, were getting 4 to 5 yards just falling forward. That offensive line was wearing that defense out. And they're not built in the red zone to stop the run. Their red zone defense is that dollar defense, they call it, which is a dime, 6 DBs. They love to move around and confuse you. And that's what they did. They confused Kirk a little bit. He threw the ball to the wrong guy. You run the ball. You take it out of his
hand. I guess here's my argument. I think we're actually agreeing, just maybe
not
completely. My whole point is it's not 98% of the time you run, 2% you throw.
No. It's 50-50. I just personally, I ran the ball.
But I would even argue that you're right, that I would even say even more often than not in that spot you're supposed to run. Maybe it's a 65-35.
Right.
But the people that are acting like you should never pass in that spot,
that's
all hindsight.
No, you can pass. That's hindsight.
Of course you can pass.
But it's definitely 50-50 or 60-40. But I just felt like, it's like playing Madden. you can feel it. When the game is going the way you want it to go, if you run the ball down their throats, like he's saying.
Just break their spirit.
Just break their spirit. Run the ball. Put the uglies up there. I would even say bring in an extra lineman and just get real nasty and say, you know what? Let's fight. Me and you, let's fight.
That's when you need David Morgan, too.
You're right. And that's the other problem is, like, because we were so thinking, like, hey, they're going to let him go with an injury settlement, or maybe they cut him and move on and find him. David Morgan is your guy when you want to overload and run the ball and put a bigger tight end on an outside linebacker. Yeah. That was some of the stuff we weren't doing with the run as far as setting the edge. All Dalvin Cook's runs came up, you know, kind of between the guard tackle. So, yeah, David Morgan right now, I mean, hopefully it's only another 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But, yeah, they're going to need him back because he is a legit blocking tight end.
More of your phone calls after this at 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. Vikes lose by 5 to the Packers. That's Ron Johnson. I'm Corey Cope from the Power 2 Morning Show, and this is Minnesota Vikings Fan Line on KFAN and The Fan.
FM 100.3 KFAN, The Fan.
Play action. Kirk rolls out to the right. He stops. He fires to the back right of the end zone. Awful pass. Was that picked off? Incomplete. Was it incomplete?
I don't know.
That was a terrible play by Cousins.
Kevin King.
Throw it out of the back of the
Bay ball. Are you kidding me with that? Oh, my heavens. Back right of the end zone. Rolling out to the right. First and goal from the 8.
One on the field.
See, I thought.
One on the field is an interception. First down.
I thought it was jarred out late.
All right, welcome back to Minnesota Vikings Fan Line. That's the play that everybody's talking about because the Vikings did storm back. I guess storm is maybe a little bit overly dramatic, but still, they did fight their way back from 21 rip down to 21-16 down.
Yeah,
and had first and goal from the 8 until Kirk did that. So this is a game the Vikings absolutely could have won. Think of the heartbreak in Sconeyville if that's the case, if the Vikings come all the way back last year, only to lose it in overtime, but still they come back last year on the dramatic throw from Kirk to Thielen a year ago. They almost did it again today with Kirk to Diggs, but it gets picked off, and the Packers hold on and win 21-16. So pretty tough loss considering the opportunities, right? Not considering a 21 rip game, right? I mentioned it earlier. It would have been the third biggest comeback in Vikings history.
Right.
So, you know, statistically, when you're down 14 to 17 points in the NFL, you're dead. That's the way it works.
I thought it's over. Like in Madden,
almost always.
At 21-0, you reset the game, you start over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm hats off to them for fighting back. Because I really thought it was going to end up being like a 35-17 game. Like it just did not look good. So I don't know what Zimmer said at halftime, or as they were trying to claw back. I don't know what he started telling the offensive line, the defense. I don't know what changes he made because the defense looked a lot different. I don't know if they got out of some of the coverages they were in, but they fought their way back. I mean, because if you take a closer look at the third downs, that's where it was glaring. Like A-Rosh to start out was like 2 for 2, 4 for 4, 5. I mean, he was killing them. And then all of a sudden, third down, he's 5 for 13. Vikings, that's the key. They have to be better offensively on third downs. If your defense is going to be that good, you got to be just as good as they're on third downs.
All right, let's do a closer look presented by Advanced Imaging. Thanks to Advanced Imaging, you kind of just mentioned the third downs right there, but let's break it down. How bad were they on third down, and what can we do differently?
Differently? I don't really know. The problem is you don't want to end up, and you talked about the running the ball. You would throw it here, you would run it there. I think that's the part of it, staying ahead of the sticks. And they bring it, they set it up all the time. And all that means is just don't get behind the sticks. It shouldn't be 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9. Some of the first down calls were not, I would call, good calls, but 4 for 13 on third downs, it's not good. 5 for 15 for the Packers is not good. So good for the defenses on both sides. But the Vikings being 4 for 13, they've got to have some better plays. Yes, there were some drops, the Stephon Diggs one. Yeah, there were some offsides, some holding, some pass interferences that made them go 2nd and 20. So some of that you can take out. But other than that, you got to cut out the dumb plays. And you got to, like, when you have an opportunity, I mean, Aaron Rodgers from the start, not the second half, the start, third down, he was electric. You know, he was lining guys up in the right spots. He was making the throws. Kirk Cousins, on the other hand, was not. Like, if it wasn't for some, you know, third and shorts, they're not getting those third downs. He wasn't making the throws. The receivers weren't making the catches. He threw one over Adam Thielen's head as if Adam Thielen was, 7'2". I mean, you just that has to change. And I'm hoping, like Kirk said, that's the one good thing. This is over now. Everybody can move on. Fans won't move on for a couple days.
Not yet.
But the team can move on, and now it's Oakland Raider time. He goes out against the Raiders and throws for 300 yards. He's 25 for, 32 and 4 touchdowns. All that's gone. Now they're 2-1, and we're on to the next one. And so that's why it is a loss to the Packers, but now put it in the back of your head, wait till December, whatever, 23rd or whatever it is, beat them on Christmas, whatever, or Thanksgiving, whatever, whenever they play the Packers again. Now you just have to make sure you split. You can't get swept by the Packers because now you're putting yourself behind the eight ball and trying to win the NFC North.
Let's go to Mike in Apple Valley. Hi, Mike.
What's going on, guys?
Not much. What do you think?
First of all, I have to give a big skyuma to Mr. Ron Johnson.
Oh, appreciate it.
3-0.
Roll the boat, baby! Roll the boat!
Wait a minute, Mike. I'm also a University of Minnesota grad.
Corey,
just because I didn't catch the most, touchdowns
Ron,
in Gopher history doesn't
Ron's
mean I'm worthless.
The group. Come on, what are
okay,
you
gonna
do?
Did you actually go to class, though?
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay. More than you, I bet.
Probably.
I went to plenty of classes with football players who were in the back of those auditoriums sleepy. I doubt you went to school as much as I did, Ron. But anyway, all right, so the Sky Uma thing is that's in the past.
Yeah,
Mike, what else is next?
Yeah, I had to throw it out there.
Okay.
I mean, Ron's Ron. So anyways, I will say, though, by the way, I've been on hold so long that Antonio Brown was dropped by the Patriots, picked up by the Bills, then dropped by the Bills, and picked up by the Bengals. You heard it here first.
Wow. That would be crazy.
A la common.
No.
Common man joke.
Anyways, listen, here's the thing. Everybody's going to bust on Cousins today, and I get it. I mean, horrible day for a quarterback. I mean, whether you're making $28 million or $1 million, it's a horrible day. But I got to say, as far as momentum goes, I got to go back to that long touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs. And Ron Johnson should know as much as anybody. You're a receiver, you're on cloud nine, you've got adrenaline rolling, but to take off your helmet, okay, seriously, guys, he knows. He knows what the rules are. It's not like he didn't know, okay? He rips his helmet off, and we have no chance to go for two. Now, I can almost guarantee you we were going for two
had
in that
to.
Scenario.
Had to.
Absolutely. 21-18 versus 21-16. He wants to show the world his face when everyone knows what his face looks like. You know what? You know, act like you've been there, okay? That's all I'm saying. Act like you've been there. Take the touchdown, throw the ref the ball, go back to the sideline, and do whatever you need to do. But to rip off your helmet right out of the end zone, in that, I think it was just momentum killing. Yes, Cousins had a horrible day, but that killed momentum, and I guarantee you we're going for two there, and it's 21-18. I think it's a different ball game.
Hey, check this out, Mike. I'll take it one step further, and thanks for the call. Ron and I were talking about this during the break, right? So Diggs gets the penalty. So was that a 10 or 15-yard penalty?
Because that we'll have to look up. But I think it's 10 or 15. I don't know.
But either way. If you're going for the two-point conversion, when you're down at that point 5, right, you're down 21-16, and kicking an extra point with like 7 or 8 or 9 minutes to go, I don't like that logic anyway. I like trying to go for two there. I think you almost have to no matter what. I would argue I would rather go for two from the 12. Let's say it was a 10-yard penalty. I'd rather go for two from the 12, maybe hope for a defensive penalty, maybe hope that you just get the 2 points. Then bomb a 47 or 48-yard one-point extra point that even if it goes through, you're still down 4. You still have to score a touchdown, right? You're down 4 or 5, whether the extra point goes through or not.
Correct.
I would rather go for 2 even with the penalty. Now, if it's a 15-yard penalty and you're at the 17, now it's getting pretty ridiculous, and I know that's a little hypocritical because I'm saying go for it from the 12, but maybe not from the 17. That's a lot to ask. You're really hoping for a penalty there to give yourself a second shot at a two-point conversion, but I think you have to go for two in that spot, and the fact that Diggs essentially pulled them out of two-point range and forced them to go for a very long extra point, which changes the trajectory. Dan Bailey gets it blocked. They lose by 5.
Yep.
Super frustrating.
Yeah, and
keep
I'm looking at this.
On,
this still doesn't tell us. The ref is the ref's discretion. So it says an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty after the completion of a scoring play, the 10 or 15 yards can be assessed on the kickoff or the scoring play for either excessive celebrations, involves in props, multiple players engaging in taunting against an opponent, which that's what that was, which is taunting, or a player's purposeful removal of his helmet anywhere in the field of play during the plays.
So everybody that's screaming at the radio right now going, well, you can't go for two from the 12 or the 17. What's the point even if the extra point goes through?
Yeah.
Right? That's one of the big mistakes I think people make is, well, but we're down four. So then if we score a touchdown and kick the extra point, then we're up three. And then if the Packers get a field goal, you have to almost think
why
about
why do all the fans sound like...
That's what they sound like, nerds. But my point is, you almost have to act like, let's assume that the Packers are not going to score again.
Right.
If they stay at 21 points, then the difference between four or five doesn't change you at all.
Correct. You're still going for a touchdown.
But if you get down by three because you get the 2 points, now that changes your game.
Correct.
And with 9 minutes to go, this isn't the first quarter. This is halfway through the fourth quarter. I think you have to go for two there.
No, I agree.
So way to go, Diggs.
Yeah.
Way to go. One final segment of Minnesota Vikings Fan Line after this, and then overtime takes over. This is...
Third and seven from the 50. Green Bay leads by five. Rodgers finally sacked. This time it's Danielle Hunter who came flying in like a shot and got him back at the 40-yard line, loss of 10. Well done, young man.
All right, one final segment. It's a quick win here before we toss it over to the guys on Vikings Overtime. Vikings lose 21-16 to the Green Bay Packers. Tomorrow morning on the Power Trip Morning Show, we'll have Ben Lieber to break it all down. He was on the sidelines at Lambeau, and of course, he also was in the locker room with Coach Zimmer, Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen. So we'll get Ben's takes tomorrow, 7 o'clock a.m. until 9, see what he thought about the Vikings loss and about the game that Kirk Cousins had, the calls that the officials drove us Vikings fans nuts with all day. Ron, what do you take away from this game? How do you move on if you're a Vikings player? Forget the fans. We're going to be pissed for weeks. If you're a Vikings player, you have the Raiders next week. The Raiders look mostly awful, right? They're getting worked today by Kansas City, but Kansas City's really good. If you watched Hard Knocks at all, the team looks like they're not going to be that difficult to beat. Right. I don't know quite yet if John Gruden knows what he's doing, even after all these years. Are you worried about the Raiders at all, considering the game's at home?
Yes.
And the Vikes have a week to think about it.
Yes and no. At home, the Vikings are extremely sound. The sound affects the other team. Hopefully the fans don't wave this time and do the wave randomly when the offense is on the field. Derek Carr is dangerous. You and I talked about the running back looks really good. Darren Waller, their tight end, they use him a lot at 6'6". He can outjump guys. I think we'll see him and Jayron Kearse matched up. With McKenzie Alexander being down, I think a lot of people forget how much they need him as an additional cover guy, and that's where the Packers kind of they ate a lot in the slot today. Like, the slot killed the Vikings, and so that's what scares me a little bit, is because the Raiders, which is why they got Antonio Brown, they put their number one guy in the slot. If you watch the first game the Raiders played on Monday night, they took advantage of the slot cornerback, and so they're going to do the same thing, because that's basically where Derek Carr wants to go. So that's my only, I guess, hesitation about that game, is that Jayron Kearse, Harrison Smith, Anthony Harris, whoever's covering the slot guy has to play a sound game, even if it's a linebacker, because we saw Kendricks cover a linebacker or a guy in the slot at one point. So that. Other than that, I think being back home, I think my hope is that Kirk Cousins finally saw Diggs get a little bit going today. He saw Thielen kind of regress a little bit. You know, he didn't go to Thielen as much because teams are real, you know, they're bracketing Thielen and they're going to say beat us with Diggs. Even on the touchdown, when Thielen ran the over route, the other safety almost ran up to Thielen, and last minute he realized it was going to Diggs. So that's my only apprehension. Kirk has a strong arm. We see that now. He can make the deep ball throws. I just hope these guys don't get too pissed off at each other, because there was a lot of stuff offensively that happened, that receivers can go off on quarterbacks. Quarterbacks can, you know, say you should have run the route this way or you should have done this. Whenever you start pointing fingers, that's when a locker room can become toxic, like we saw with the Eagles and Terrell Owens, like we saw with the Cowboys and Terrell Owens, like we saw with the Bengals and Terrell Owens. Like, it follows you. Like, if you are toxic and you do that to your quarterback, it's going to follow you. I hope the Vikings don't do that. Other than that, the defense played lights out in the second half. So that defense in the second half needs to come to show up in the first half against the Raiders.
All right, I'll see you next Sunday for Fanline at U.S. Bank Stadium after the Raiders game. But before that, we got to talk Cisco on initials.
Oh, yeah.
We got to book you for initials sometime during Gopher football season. We got a lot to talk about.
I'll bring the tweets. You bring the chicken tenders.
That sounds good. I think I'm going to Canes right now anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Right on cue. Vikings overtime starts in a second for Ron Johnson, though. I'm Corey Coe from the Power Trip Morning Show, and this has been Minnesota Vikings Fanline on KFAN and the Fan Radio Network.
Everybody that calls in, tell Meat Sauce happy birthday.